The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. So how are y'all's brackets looking right now? I know it was a big weekend. We had a lot of craziness going on. My bracket looks pretty fucked up, so I'm sure yours does too. But we'll get to that later on in the show. First, let me start off with my fantasy basketball playoffs. I moved on. I beat Lambeer's Bad Boys 6-5. Barely beat the dude, but hey, Team Crazy Crackers is moving on. I'm going to be going up against Rattlers this week, and he was the number 2 seed in the league. So, and he's actually won the league a couple times too. So, him and Pick and Roll, those guys tend to own our fantasy basketball league. And then Team Cyclones moved on. He beat Running of the Bulls 9-2. So Cyclones kicked some ass this week, and he's going to need his players to step up this week because he's going up against Pick and Roll. So we'll see who moves on in our fantasy basketball league and who moves on to the championship and ultimately ends up being the fantasy basketball champion of the Lakers Dynasty League. That's what the league's called, Lakers Dynasty. All right, and speaking of March Madness from the weekend, just something weird or odd that I noticed was I was watching the Illinois games, and their first matchup, they have one of their main players is a guy named Kofi Coburn. Now, when you see the spelling of his last name, it's actually spelled Cockburn, C-O-C-K-B-U-R-N. And so, of course, me being the six-year-old, I see his last name on the back of his jersey and go, huh, Cockburn. And so, of course, I'm laughing about it the whole game. And then I notice when he goes up to take some free throws, the announcers are calling him Coburn. And I'm like, what? When in the actual fuck did the English language change and we changed the last name of Cockburn to Coburn? Yeah, I don't think so. Your last name's Cockburn, dude, and just own it. I mean, hey, if that was my last name, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm Katie Cockburn, motherfuckers. Damn right. But speaking of Cockburn, Deshaun Watson was traded to the Cleveland Browns this weekend. We'll see how that goes. It looked like before the weekend that the Browns were out of the running for him, but I mean, you never know. That could always be smoke and mirrors with reporting and all of that. But they went ahead and traded for him, and they actually gave him a nice fat new contract as well. I think $230 million of it's guaranteed. So, he couldn't turn that down and can't blame him. How I think this is going to break down and translate onto the field, I still have some questions. Before last season, you know, he didn't play at all last season. And before that, the season before, I actually think he kind of regressed. He wasn't horrible. I actually think he's a good quarterback, just generally speaking. But the season before last, he actually didn't have that great of a season. Now, granted, he didn't have a lot of good players surrounding him. So I don't know how he's going to look on the field, especially taking a year off. And it wasn't due to injury. And I think that's a completely different mindset. As a matter of fact, what I've been thinking this entire year while hasn't played at all is I just keep thinking of Le'Veon Bell a few years ago, when he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers and he wanted to be the highest paid running back in the league and they didn't want to pay him that money. So he ended up holding out and didn't play at all that season. So then after he took the season off, the New York Jets ended up giving him that money. And he ended up basically just getting injured and really never did anything for the Jets. The Jets eventually released him. He ended up going to the Chiefs, and he was basically a backup for the whole time there. And then, if I recall, he went to the Buccaneers just this last season, and he was on and off the team. And so, I mean, his ever since he held out that season, it never went well for him. So that's kind of what I see going with Deshaun Watson. I mean, first of all, the Cleveland Browns aren't known for being an amazing organization. And he actually is heading into a pretty good team, I believe. They've got a great offensive line. They've got a great backfield. They just traded for Amari Cooper. So they do have a solid number one receiver. And the defense is pretty good, too, and a good coaching staff. So it's not like he's going to a shitty team. But at the same time, what is he going to be like on the field? And, you know, since I didn't have this show going when the accusations about him first came about, I'll go ahead and give my opinion on that. Basically, if you don't know, I mean, if you're a sports fan, you probably should know, but I do know some of my fans aren't actually really major sports fans. They really just like my show, which is cool. So, I'll go ahead and kind of recap what happened with Deshaun Watson. Okay, so this week he wasn't charged criminally with any of the accusations that have been thrown his way. But basically, right now, 22 women are suing him civilly. And they're accusing him of basically, they're all massage therapists, licensed massage therapists. And I'm making an emphasis on that because I'm going to make some points after I describe what happened here. But the basic gist of what happened is that they would start massaging him and they would notice that he was getting a boner. And some of them, he ended up like ejaculating on himself, or, you know, they would like, he would purposely kind of graze his dick up on their arm or whatever, making them uncomfortable. And that's basically what he's accused of. I believe the accusers 100%. I mean, in my personal opinion, you have 22 accusers. Oh, by the way, there are actually more. Not everybody decided to sue him for whatever reason, whether they just didn't really care that much, whether they didn't want to go through a lawsuit. Because like I said, I work for a lawyer, and a lot of people think lawsuits are just this really easy fucking process. And honestly, lawsuits are probably one of the worst things you could ever go through in your life. And as a person who works for a lawyer, we basically bend you over and anally rape you without any lube. So that's what a lawsuit is like for anybody. Even if you're the winner, it's really not a win when you go through a lawsuit. So just letting you know that. But there are many accusers of this. Now, I will say, I don't believe he deserved to be charged criminally. And the reason why is because I don't think we should just be throwing, he doesn't deserve to be thrown behind bars for something like that. I do think he deserves to pay for doing things like this. That's what you get when you just fucking think everybody wants to touch your dick and they don't. Sorry, you get to pay for that. And I don't have a problem with that. I don't sit here and go, oh, money grab, because that's another stupid thing that morons who get all upset over celebrities or famous people getting accused of shit. Sorry, that's too fucking bad. Choose better people to hang out with, I guess, is what you need to do. Or don't dangle your dick on people who don't fucking want it. But regardless, I believe these women. Even if, let's just say, okay, there's 22 women suing him right now. Let's just say 10 of them are liars. That still leaves 12 people, okay? So I'm sorry, there's not this like magical little room that Houston Texans had like all these just women lined up ready to sue a dude. That's just not the way it works. You can all act like that's the way it works, but that's not the fucking way it works. Especially when you're accusing a famous person who's big in Houston. At the time, Deshaun Watson is the quarterback of the Houston Texans, and Houston Texans fans, they liked him. So, of course, they're going to have his back. And so why, just those type of accusations, they just don't work for me. But also, like I said, these were all professional settings as well. These weren't Instagram hoes. These weren't bitches he was fucking on the side. These weren't ex-girlfriends of his. These weren't even supposed to be sexual encounters. And hell, this wasn't even like a tug and pull type thing that I know you guys go to your little massage parlors and do that shit. No, that's not that what this was. These were actual massage therapists who do this for a living. Yes, I know you all have your little fantasy acting like all women are just sitting around ready to suck your dick. No, there are women who actually, you know, do this job and do it professionally and seriously. So that's another reason why I believe them, because these were all professional settings, not fucking hoes, not gold digging sluts. And So like I said, I don't think he deserved any jail time for this. He didn't rape anybody, at least from what I've read. From the stories that I've read, I haven't read anything where he's held somebody down or raped them or any of that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, basically, the majority of the stories, at least from what I've read, they would tell him to leave, and he would leave. He didn't do anything to harm them or anything afterwards. He just made them feel uncomfortable. And trust me, that would make me feel uncomfortable too, just so y'all know. So that's just kind of the way I look at it. You know, like I said, even if these are just lying gold digging sluts and, they're just going after his money, the money grab that all you losers talk about. Like I said, here's how you avoid, the money grab. Hang out with better people, find better sluts, fuck better people. I don't know, surround yourself with better people. It's always on you. So don't fucking feel sorry for the dude who just signed a $230 million contract. I'm pretty sure he can afford all the dick dangling that he did, okay? And I believe that's what he did. Now, like I said, I think he also deserves another shot in the NFL as well. Like I said, I don't think he deserves jail time for this. I didn't really think he deserved to be charged criminally, although I wouldn't have been upset if he was charged criminally. I just don't think our justice system should be used for kind of petty stuff like this. I'd rather see it go through civil litigation and have him pay, because that's what he deserves. Because some of these women, I don't know, could have lost jobs because of this. I don't know every single intimate story of this, because also it's in court, so there's lots of stuff that we can't see that's going on behind the scenes. But I do believe he did what he did. I don't believe he deserved to be charged criminally. I do think he deserves to pay. And like I said, I knew he was not going to be kicked out of the NFL. I mean, a lot of people are really upset that he got this new contract, and it's, sorry, people, life is not fair. The way life works is, if you're good at something, and no matter how shitty of a person you are, if you're good at something, people are going to keep paying you to do it. And that's just the way life works. And also, there are guys in this league who have done a lot worse, actually, than what Deshaun Watson has done, past, present, and future. So those are really my thoughts on Deshaun Watson. Like I said, I don't think really anything great is going to come of his career, just because, like I said, the year off, it really does take a toll on your body. You just kind of lose the mental memory of running plays over and over again. And also it's the Cleveland Browns. Come on, man. They haven't done shit in forever. So come on. I don't really think, I just don't think it's going to be, it's really going to turn out to be a big deal. Also, another thing to note is he's definitely going to get suspended, because the league has set the precedent that even if you're not charged criminally, you can be suspended. And the example that has always stuck out to me is Zeke Elliott, the running back of the Dallas Cowboys. When he was first drafted into the league, he had a girlfriend, an ex-girlfriend of his, who accused him of beating her up. Turns out, and I've actually seen the text messages, because some reporter subpoenaed them, so I've actually seen the evidence in this. But basically, he was sleeping with the chick. He was done sleeping with the chick. He kicked her out of his house, and she actually texted her friend that said, "You're going to tell Zeke that he hit me." And you're going to tell the police that Zeke hit me. And her friend's like, "What, Zeke hit you?" And she's like, "No, you're just going to tell the police that." And so basically what happened was, is when this friend who was supposed to lie for this other lying bitch, she basically confessed and gave them the text messages afterwards. But basically Zeke was still suspended for 6 games, I believe, for that. And so the league has already set the precedent that even if you don't get charged criminally, you're making the league look bad, is basically their justification to suspend you. So he's definitely going to miss some time. He's probably going to at least miss the first month of the season, which doesn't help the Browns. But they did just sign Jacoby Brissett as well, who's an excellent backup quarterback, for real. I mean, it's weird to say that he's a great quarterback, backup quarterback, but I honestly, if Jacoby Brissett was the backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, I'd be excited about it. So they do have a good fill-in, and honestly, I think they have a good guy to step in if something else happens with Deshaun Watson, because you never know the type of accusations that were flung his way. There could be more. You just never know. But regardless, those are my thoughts on Deshaun Watson. I'm not going to get in, do any, like, deeper thoughts on that throughout the season. I'm not going to, like, be wishing him ill will. I just felt I needed to at least say my piece on that and make some valid points to all you stupid idiots who every time one of your favorite celebrities gets accused of something and you just throw out the dumbass money grab shit. And it's like, I'm sorry, when you're accused of the exact same thing by 22 different people. And yes, the same story can happen, because I don't know if you guys notice this, but usually when there's a person who's like a rapist or a murderer or an abuser, they usually have a pattern that's usually the exact same throughout. So it's not some like made up little thing that you idiots think happens out there. No, it's actually real that powerful people do horrible things. I don't understand why it's so unfathomable to so many of you that when a celebrity of yours does something fucked up, you immediately get all defensive. And it's like, sorry, the majority of people who are in power are horrible people. That's just the way it is. So just get over it, or stop lying for them, if anything. All right, so now let's move on to actual good news that went on in the NFL this week. Had a bunch of more free agent movement, a couple more trades. First, Juju Smith-Schuster, he signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that's a great move, because he's not going to be their number one guy. And they could definitely use another receiver out there, especially with all the moves that have gone on in the AFC West these past couple of weeks. So Kansas City had to get somebody, and I think Juju's a great fit in Kansas City. Then the Rams ended up trading wide receiver Robert Woods to Tennessee. I think that's also a great move. If Robert Woods heals from his ACL injury that he suffered towards the end of the season, he's going to be a great addition for the Tennessee Titans. Then Jameis Winston actually just re-signed with the New Orleans Saints today. And I think that's also a good move. I don't see what else they could have got that's out on the market out there right now, especially with the way quarterbacks are getting signed and traded at this current point in time. And then my Cowboys made a couple of moves this week, nothing major, but I think they were good moves overall. They just re-signed Jayron Kearse today, so I'm happy with that move. Dante Fowler, defensive end, they just signed him this week, and I think that's going to be a good replacement for Randy Gregory. And then wide receiver James Washington, obviously he's not a replacement for Amari Cooper, because Amari Cooper is tough to replace. But James Washington overall is a solid receiver, and I think he could fit right in. Then Cordero Patterson re-signed with the Atlanta Falcons, which is a great move by the Falcons, although I don't know who's going to be throwing to him, because then just today, the Falcons ended up trading Matt Ryan to the Indianapolis Colts, which I actually think is a great move by the Colts. I was wondering what the Colts were going to do once they got rid of Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan obviously is at the end of his career, but I think he could actually step into this role of they've got a good offensive line. They've got a good backfield. They do need some help at the receiver position, and they've got one of the best defenses in the league. So I actually think Matt Ryan is going to be a great fit for the Colts to at least bridge the gap for the next 2 to 3 years. So he was just traded there today. I think all they had to do was give up a third round pick and just take on his big contract. But I mean, really, I think that's a great move for the Colts. Obviously, the Falcons are just going to kind of mail the season in, and then probably I hear that next year's draft is actually going to be a really good draft for quarterbacks. So they did just sign Marcus Mariota today, which I'm like, whoopty fucking do. But that's what's going on in the NFL. So let's go ahead and move on to baseball. We got baseball season starting off in about 2.5 weeks here from today. And so now I'm going to go ahead and give you basically a season preview, my outlook on what I expect from every team this year. And I decided, you know, since I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, I'm going to start off today with the AL and NL West teams. And basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in order of who I think is going to win the division and then go from there. So let's start with the NL West. And who do you think I think is going to win the division this year? Now, last year, I did not pick the Giants to win the division. A friend of mine and I, we actually make bets on baseball season. Before the season, we pick the division winners and wild card and all that. And then we adjust our picks midway through the season, and then we go through the playoffs. And last year, I did not pick the Giants. I thought the Giants were going to be trash. And turns out they had one of the best seasons, at least regular seasons, that they've ever had in their history. So I'm not going to count them out this year, especially because I do like their starting pitching. So since I'm starting out with the Giants, yes, that means I think the Giants are going to win their division this year. It's not going to be easy. As a matter of fact, our division is just as solid and just as good as it was last year. But I think their pitching, their starting pitching is just spectacular. They did lose Gausman, who was their workhorse last year. But still, we've got Logan Webb, who really turned it on towards the end of last year and had a great, great couple of games in the playoffs. And then Di Sclafani, he just came out of nowhere. He was a journeyman throughout the league. He was with the Reds for a while, and he didn't really do that great with them. And then we picked him up, and all of a sudden, he had, like, a career year. And then we just recently signed Carlos Rodon away from the Chicago White Sox, and he had a great season last year. So he just adds a little bit of depth to our starting pitching. And our bullpen's still great, too. So I think the Giants' starting pitching is basically what's going to carry them this year. They did add Jock Peterson in their batting order. He's not like some lights out dude, but he's definitely a great addition. He just helped the Atlanta Braves win a World Series, and he was a huge part of the reason why, especially during the playoff run. So I think that's going to help if we do make the postseason. And then Joey Bart finally gets to come up and take over for Buster Posey. You know, this is going to be the first season that the Giants are without Buster Posey, so it's going to be very interesting to see how it works for them, because he's been the dude. He's been the dude ever since he hit the scene. He was great from start to finish. So we'll see what Joey Bart can do. He's actually been pretty good in the minor leagues, but the couple of times he's come up the last 2-3 seasons, I think, he hasn't been that impressive to me. At least with his bat. So we'll see what happens there. And so with the Giants, I think their starting pitching is what's going to carry them. Their batting lineup is kind of where my concern's at, because it is old. You know, Buster Posey just retired, and he was the heart of the lineup. We lost Chris Bryant. He ended up going to sign with the Colorado Rockies, so we don't have his bat anymore in the lineup. And then you've got Brandon Crawford, who had a career year last year. But he's also getting older. So is he going to be able to keep up the pace? Then you got Brandon Belt, another guy who's a great hitter, but he also gets injured a lot too. So I do think the Giants are going to build off of last year. I don't think they're going to be able to match the wins that they got last year. They might come close, but I don't think they're going to do what they did last year. but I do think they're going to win their division. And then I think the Dodgers will come in second place. And the reason why is because I don't think their starting pitching is that good. As a matter of fact, it's got like mostly no depth from starting pitching all the way down to the bullpen. Walker Buehler is their only, in my opinion, trustworthy starting pitcher. And that's crazy to say, because they did re-sign Clayton Kershaw this year. And he's been one of the most dominant pitchers over the last probably like 15-ish years. But last year he pretty much has been falling off just because he's been injured a lot lately. And so I don't think he's as good as he once was. So I look at their starting pitching and I'm like, well, that's bad. And then they just lost Kenley Jansen, their star closer. He's been their closer for the last couple of seasons. And they just lost him to the Atlanta Braves. So that's where I think their main weakness is going to end up being. Now, you say that. Now, they also did lose Max Scherzer as well. They traded for him halfway through the season last year. But his time with the Dodgers, he did great. So they did lose a big part of their starting pitching. Their entire pitching is pretty shoddy, in my opinion. But then you look at their batting lineup. They just signed Freddie Freeman, got like the biggest free agent on the market this year. So you got him. But I mean, you still got Mookie Betts. You still got Trey Turner. You still got Bellinger. And then you got Muncy coming back from an injury. So their batting lineup is stacked. And I expect them to do great there. And I expect them to do great on defense as well. But it's just their pitching, I think, is very weak. And that's where I think the Giants will be able to come out on top. Now, I think it's going to be a battle to the end. I think it's going to be a battle between them, the Giants, the Dodgers, and then who I think is going to come in third place is the San Diego Padres, because I do think the Padres are a good team. They've been getting better every year, and their only problem, which sucks to start the season off, is Fernando Tatis. He's injured, and he's going to be out for 3 months. Now, luckily, it's only 3 months. Baseball season's very long, and he could come right in, and you know, injuries have been his problem the last couple of seasons, so it's nothing new with him. But he is a huge reason why I think they're a good team. But other than that, though, they do have good starting pitching. They have a good bullpen. You know, they got Blake Snell. They picked him up from the Rays a couple seasons ago. He had a solid year last year. Then they picked up Yu Darvish as well. While he isn't that great, but he tends to have his moments, and he had a good season last year. So I think that's a good pitch or a good pickup for them. And then a couple other moves they made, they traded for Luke Voit from the Yankees. So I think he can add a nice bat into their lineup, especially with the absence of Tatis for the next couple of months. And then they added Clevinger, in their pitching, started pitching as well. So, I mean, I think their starting pitching is going to be where it's at. And so I do think the teams battling out in the NL West are going to be the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Padres. And I think it's going to be a battle to the end, just like it was last season. And it could be even closer than it was last season, just because I think that the Padres are going to get better. And I think the Dodgers are not going to be as strong as they've been in the past. Just their lineup is stacked, but that pitching is very, very questionable. Then you just move down to the Colorado Rockies. Their hitting is not bad. They did pick up Chris Bryant, which I think is a great move for them. But their pitching is bad. And other than that, too, I mean, really, they're the Rockies. They did lose Trevor Story as well. They're one of their best players on the defensive side of the ball. So I don't really expect much from the Rockies, other than maybe they'll have a couple of upset wins here and there. But I really don't think the Rockies are going to be much of a contender, especially in the West this year. And then where I think the team that's going to end up in last place is going to be the Arizona Diamondbacks. Overall, they're just an awful team. The only move they made this offseason noteworthy is they picked up Mark Melancon, the closer. He used to actually pitch for the Giants and the Braves and the Padres as well. So he's had a good career overall, but he's not going to come in and make this team a contender. The Diamondbacks have a lot of problems. And honestly, I don't even really know how they're still a team, but they are still a team. And I think they're going to end up in last place. So I think the NL West is going to go Giants, Dodgers, Padres, Rockies, and Diamondbacks. So let's move on to the AL West. And I actually have a surprise team who I think is going to win the AL West this year, and I think it's going to be the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And the reason why is because Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani are going to be healthy this year. I think they're going to dominate their batting lineup, especially if both of them stay healthy. Obviously, this is, of course, if they stay healthy. But they also made some nice moves with their pitching as well. They picked up Noah Syndergaard from the New York Mets. And while he's had a couple of injury-prone seasons, I still think he's a good pitcher. And he only makes the starting pitching lineup better for the Angels, along with Ohtani. So, and then they also made a move for Raisel Iglesias in the bullpen. So I just think they've made the right improvements. I think it will be good to see Mike Trout and Ohtani in the same same batting lineup together. I expect them to actually score a lot of runs. But that's my surprise team in the AL this year. I think the Angels are going to be a good team this year, and I think they're going to win their division. Then I think the Houston Astros will come in second place. Overall, they're basically the same team other than their starting pitching. Also, they lost Carlos Correa. He's been their heart and soul ever since their World Series run. So that's going to be a big loss. And then, especially because his defense, he is great in the batting order, but his defense is something else. He is one of the top shortstops in the league, so that's for damn sure. He ended up signing with the Twins, so he's going to – the Twins only got better this year too. And then Zach Greinke ended up signing back with the Kansas City Royals, so they lost him as well. And he was basically probably their best pitcher. Well, McCullers was probably their best pitcher last year. But Greinke was pretty good too. So they're going to be missing some offense, defense, and some starting pitching. But they do get Justin Verlander back this year. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. The last couple of seasons, you know, he didn't play at all last season due to injury. Then the season before that, he suffered a bunch of injuries. I want to say like over the last like three or four seasons, he's been getting injured a lot. It sucks, but that's just the way it goes. You know, Justin Verlander has been one of the greatest pitchers in the league, hands down. Since the day he stepped into this league, he has been a great pitcher. So I still think he's got some juice in the tank, but we'll see how long he's going to be able to last without getting injured. I don't think he's going to make or break this team, but they do still have some strong starting pitching. Especially with Verlander coming back. And they still have the best batting lineup in the league. You know, you still got Altuve out there, you still got Gurriel, and then you still got Bregman. So I don't expect the Astros to have a down season. I just think that the Angels are going to get better, and so they're going to actually have some real competition out in their division this year. Then I think the Texas Rangers will end up in third place. They actually did make a good move this offseason. They ended up signing Corey Sager. He used to play for the Dodgers, and they ended up signing him. So I think that's a great move. That adds a great bat, adds some great defense. He's just been very solid his entire career. He was basically one of the best guys available in free agency this year too. So it was kind of a surprise move too. You didn't really expect him to go out there, but he did. And I think that was a great move by the Rangers. Then they also picked up Marcus Semien as well, so I think that was a good move too. With their batting lineup is very good. It's just their pitching overall is very questionable, from starting pitching to bullpen. Honestly, when I went and looked at their roster, I couldn't even tell you who the fuck their pitchers were, as a matter of fact. So that's where my biggest question mark is for the Rangers, and that's why I've got them down at third. Then finishing fourth in the AL West, I think it's going to be the Oakland A's. Probably one of their last seasons in Oakland, by the way. I have a feeling they're going to be the Las Vegas A's here any year now, maybe next year. But I don't know. The moves that they're making are going to make them a very favorable team to watch when you're in Vegas, because they've traded away a lot of guys this offseason. They traded away Chapman. And they traded away Olsen, you know, so they got rid of those guys. And then I'm hearing that there's a possibility they may even trade away Manaea and Montas. And those are two good pitchers for them as well. So they got rid of their hitters, two of their big hitters, and sounds like they might be trying to shop their two big pitchers as well. Their only move they made this offseason was Elvis Andrews, who's just old as hell. I mean, he's a solid shortstop, but I mean, he's just old. He's not going to make this team really good. So I'm not really expecting much from the A's, although you say that. And then for some reason, because the A's, in my opinion, have one of the best farm leagues in baseball. They always have this dude who comes out of nowhere and ends up being a Cy Young winner, or ends up winning an MVP. So they do have a great farm system. And maybe that's what they're banking on when they head to Vegas. But they always do this. They have great players that they find in the farm system, and then they trade them away or just let them go to somebody else. So, I mean, while they made these horrible moves, just watch, all of a sudden the A's will be in contention for the playoffs at the end of the season, like they always are. And then last but not least in the AL West, I think is going to be the Seattle Mariners. And the reason why is because they're just the same old Mariners. They didn't really make any big moves. They did sign Adam Frazier, but that's really their only big move they made this offseason. They're just not a good team. So, and they got a lot of competition, especially with what I think the Angels are going to be doing this year. It's like you got the Angels and you got the Astros, and then a pretty solid Rangers team in your division. I pretty much expect the Mariners to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. And then just a couple of other moves that happened in baseball this weekend. I said earlier that Carlos Correa, he just signed with the Minnesota Twins. I think that's a great move by the Twins. The Twins have been slowly getting better every single year. So I think this could be a year where you might want to watch out for the Twins in the playoffs. And that's not just bullshit. I actually think that could be legit. I'll get more in depth with them once I get to their division, but I'm already kind of spoiling right now that I kind of think the Twins are going to be a really good team this year. And then Nick Castellanos ended up signing with the Phillies. I think that's another good move by the Phillies. They have a solid lineup. They actually have pretty solid pitching too. The Phillies are a weird team. We'll see where they end up, but I think that's a great signing by them. Then Kenley Jansen, he ended up signing with the Atlanta Braves. And then last but not least, Trevor Story finally signed with somebody. He ended up going to the Boston Red Sox. So pretty much, all of the major moves in baseball have been made. And, I don't really think you're going to see anything else other than possibly some trades or whatever, but for the most part, all the major free agents have been signed up until this point. And we are ready for some baseball, man. It starts in a couple of weeks here. And yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch. I'm excited, and I'm ready to see the Giants kick some motherfucking ass this year. All right, let's move on to the NBA. Big week in the NBA, and we're getting closer and closer to the playoffs. The playoffs actually start on April 12th, so we're about 3 weeks out. So we're getting closer and closer, and so we're down to the nitty-gritty right now. And so let's start it off with my top 10 NBA power rankings. Number one, still the Phoenix Suns. They are on a 5-game winning streak right now, 8-2 in their last 10 games, 58-14 overall, and just straight up dominating. It doesn't even matter that they have Chris Paul. I think this team is legit. I think they're poised to easily win a championship this year. And so they're number one and still the only team that's really just clinched their playoff spot in the West. And then number two, Boston Celtics, 44-28 overall. And actually, since the end of January, they are 21-4. They're on a 3-game winning streak right now. And the Boston Celtics, that's another team where I look at them and the Eastern Conference better watch out, because I think that's a team you don't want to mess around with, especially because, like I said, they're 21-4 since January. So they've played solid basketball for the last 2 months, which means they're going to be able to maintain a 7-game series if you're playing up against them. So yeah, I got the Boston Celtics right now at number two. Then at number three, I've got the Miami Heat, 47-24 overall, the top team in the Eastern Conference. They actually just clinched their division, the Southeastern Conference, this week. They're headed to the playoffs. They're on a 2-game winning streak right now, 7-3 in their last 10 games. They had an up and down week, but they're still solid. They, like I said, they just made the playoffs, so nothing to cry about there in Miami. The number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Memphis Grizzlies, 49-23 overall, 7-3 in their last 10 games. They actually had an up and down week last week, but that's because Ja Morant, he's been, just sitting down the last couple of games with an injury. And it doesn't look like it's anything major. I think it's more just you'd rather kind of keep him, try and get him more healthy for the playoffs, if anything, especially with where the Grizzlies are ranked right now. They are the second team out in the Western Conference. So they're going to need him for the playoffs more than the end of the season, more than anything. So I've got them at number four. Then number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I've got the Utah Jazz. They're 45-26 overall. They're on a 3-game winning streak right now, 6-4 in their last 10 games, and they're just playing great right now. Rudy Gobert, he's just playing excellent basketball. Donovan Mitchell's playing excellent basketball. They're playing great team basketball overall, so I've got them at number five. Then at number six, haven't had this team crack the top 10 at all, but the number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, Minnesota Timberwolves, 42-30 overall right now on a 4-game winning streak, 9-1 in their last 10 games. Karl Anthony Towns has been on fire throughout this winning streak of theirs. Man, it's crazy to see The way he and Joel Embiid play the game. I mean, they're big men and they dominate in the middle, but they can shoot the three like it's easy. And so, man, Cat has been on fire this last, especially like the last 2-3 weeks. He's just been on fire. So I had to bump the Timberwolves up there. They've been playing great. So they've now made the top 10 NBA power rankings. They're at number 6 this week. At number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Milwaukee Bucks. They're 44-27 overall, 8-2 in their last 10 games. They just had a up and down week, so nothing really bad happened to them. Nothing really major happened to them. They just kind of had an up and down week, so they dropped a few spots for me. Then number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Philadelphia 76ers. 43-27 overall, 6-4 in their last 10 games. They've kind of cooled off. They're still playing great basketball. I still think they're one of the top teams out East. But they definitely have cooled off, the last couple of weeks. So they've fallen in my top 10. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, another team that's fallen down a bit, the Dallas Mavericks. They're 43-28 overall, 7-3 in their last 10 games. Luka still just continues to dominate. He did miss a game this week. That they lost, so that was to be expected. But then he came back and had this amazing game, and then they lost that game too, and they got smashed. I think they lost by like something like 20 points or something. I can't remember who they lost to, but it wasn't a good team either. I think it might have been the Raptors. I can't recall who they lost to, but they lost to somebody this week, and it was not a good loss. He actually looked pretty pissed off at the end of the game, but still, the Mavericks are still a good team, and so I've got them at number 9. Then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings, got the Cleveland Cavaliers right back up in there. They're 41-30 overall, 2-game winning streak, 5-5 in their last 10 games. But they're slowly creeping back. They're not as hot as they were before the All-Star break, but and then they cooled off kind of after the All-Star break. But they seem to be breaking stride again, and we'll see what happens in the playoffs. I'm looking at the playoff picture right now. We'll get to that in a bit. But their first matchup, I don't think is favorable for them. So I've got them rounding out the top 10, though. And so that rounds out my top 10. A couple other things that happened in the NBA this week. LeBron James passed Karl Malone for second all-time scoring in NBA history. He now has 36,947 points. And now he's only behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who has 38,387 points. So LeBron, if he kind of currently stays on the pace that he's at right now, he's probably going to pass Kareem about maybe next year at this time, maybe earlier, maybe kind of more like around February. But if he doesn't get injured and he kind of keeps playing at the pace that he does, we could be seeing LeBron James become the all-time leading scorer by next season. Now, of course, like when he became the all-time leading the assist leader in the league, the Lakers lost. Well, guess what? They still suck this week. And when he became the second all-time leading scorer, they lost. They lost. They lost to the Wizards, by the way. It was they were winning by like something like, I think, 14 points. And so, yeah, they blew a lead and lost to the shitty-ass Wizards. He didn't really have a lot to celebrate. It is a big accomplishment, though. Just another thing to add to the great resume of LeBron James. And then another update this week. Zion Williamson looks like he is not going to play at all for the Pelicans this season. I don't really actually blame them at this point because I don't think they're going to really make any noise come playoff time. They are in the hunt for the playoffs. It looks like they should make the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to be playing for a championship. So I kind of see why you wouldn't play him. But at the same time, he's now only played 24 games total in his entire career. So that's, you know, I said it a few episodes ago where I hate that people try to anoint all these motherfuckers before they even do anything. And that's kind of what happened with Zion Williamson. People were comparing him to LeBron James. And it's like, we need to not do that until you actually hit the league and do something. He's been a total bust up until this point. And I know it's not his fault that he's injury prone, but I mean, I guess it kind of is because he doesn't take care of his body that well. I mean, at least from what you could tell. So, it looks like we're not going to see him at all this season. And so maybe we'll see him next year. I don't know what's going to happen with him. Maybe the Pelicans are going to trade him. I would not be shocked if they traded him. Quite frankly, if I were the Pelicans, I probably would trade him just to at least see if you could get something out of it, because I don't think you're going to get a good player. I kind of think he's just going to be that injury-prone dude, and that's it. And then just something else, it doesn't necessarily have to do with today's NBA, but there's a show on HBO Max called Winning Time, and it basically... It's a show about the Lakers of the 80s, the Showtime Lakers. It's not a documentary. It's basically kind of a regular old TV show. So there are exaggerated things in it. And it even says it even before the show starts. There's exaggerated things in here. Not everything is true, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's all based on true events, but some of it's exaggerated. And so I haven't got to the third episode that premiered last night. But the first two episodes, I've been kind of chuckling to myself because they portray Jerry West as this total fucking asshole. And he basically, when he won his only championship as a Laker, I guess he didn't really feel good about it because he had lost so many. I think he lost like 7 or 8 or even 9 finals in a row. And so, like, he had endured so many losses that, and he focused on the negative so much that he wasn't even able to celebrate the victory. And there's this one scene that really made me laugh because he won an MVP in one of the finals that he lost. And he's, like, going off on how it's a consolation prize, and he just, like, throws it out the window, and he basically is just talking it down. And what I find amusing about it, like, first of all, I was like, is this really who Jerry West is? Because, like I said, it does say that things are exaggerated in it. So I did actually do a little bit more research, and that is actually who Jerry West is. And he's not really, like, I don't want to say he's not, like, proud of his career, but he definitely kind of looks at his career not the way I think most of the rest of us look at his career. He looks at it, seems to be more in a negative light. But what I'm trying to point out is, there's always been this argument between sports fans, especially as of, I'd say within especially the last like 15-ish, maybe even 20 years, there's always been this argument that people think that championships don't matter. And I'm the type of person that, like, if I'm like ranking somebody like as a greatest of all time, or if I'm trying to like say one player is better than the other, championships always matter to me, and I've always ranked championships. It always 100% matters to me. And if you fail in those moments in championship time, it counts against you, and in my opinion. And there's always been this argument from stupid fans, like, oh, it doesn't matter. And like, there's a lot of people who, like, for example, I would never, I'm sure at some point on my show, I'm going to rank the greatest quarterbacks of all time, at least according to me. And most people, I think, would put Dan Marino in their top 10, top 5, whatever. Now, I think Dan Marino was a great quarterback, but he never won shit. And his postseason career was absolute shit. And I think that should count against him. So he would never be anywhere near my top 10. And it's because he's never won a goddamn thing. Same with somebody like Jim Kelly. Great players, but they never fucking won a goddamn thing. And so all of these fans who always are like arguing for their player who never won shit, and then they say, oh, that doesn't matter. Yeah, it actually does matter. I guarantee you, when you ask these players, and Jerry West being one of them, that if they don't actually win, it hurts them and it pisses them off, because that's what they play the game for. Hell, I mean, take it back to Dan Marino. Many years ago when he was on the CBS pregame stuff, he used to do that many years ago. I want to say this might have even been 20 years ago, the moment I'm thinking of. And it always sticks out with me because I've always made this argument when people are trying to argue with me about people who don't have championships, that they don't matter. They do matter. Because somebody asked Dan Marino, do you ever wear your AFC championship ring? And he looks at him and goes, no, because that's the loser's ring. So it may not matter to some of you fans, so you can make your crappy little argument that never works, but the truth of the matter is championships do matter. And even when you have just one, like Jerry West, you can look on that and be like, this fucking sucks, because that's basically what they portray him as. And when I went and looked up Jerry West's kind of like regular old background, because I didn't really know anything about him other than what kind of a player he was, And I look at Jerry West and I think he had a great career. I don't care that you lost that many finals in a row, but I do understand his mindset, especially the consolation prize. Ah, oh, look at, they gave me this consolation prize, the loser's trophy. And he's literally saying this shit. Now I'm like bursting into laughter because I love that somebody's talking about it like this, because that's how I talk and that's how I view it. And so I just thought it was funny that my point was proven, that championships matter, no matter how many of you people act like they don't matter. But speaking of championships, let's talk about the NBA playoff picture currently right now. First of all, let's talk about the teams that are completely out of it. In the West, the Rockets, Houston Rockets, cannot make the playoffs, so bye-bye, Houston. And then the Eastern Conference, the teams that are completely out of it are the Indiana Pacers, the Detroit Pistons, and the Orlando Magic. So peace the fuck out, y'all three. I'll see you next year. All right, and then so in the Western Conference right now, the Phoenix Suns are the number one seed. The Memphis Grizzlies are the number two seed. The Golden State Warriors are the number three seed. Utah Jazz are the number four seed. Dallas Mavericks are the number five seed. Minnesota Timberwolves, number six seed. Then in the play-in tournament would be the number seven seed would be the Denver Nuggets. And number eight seed would be the Los Angeles Clippers. Then the number nine seed would be the New Orleans Pelicans. And rounding out the number 10 is the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah, they're barely making the playoffs right now. How fucking pathetic is that? LeBron's balling hard and they're playing like shit. Welcome to the Western Conference, LeBron. It ain't that easy like it is out east. Now, but speaking of the Eastern Conference, it's actually pretty stacked this year. I don't think it's that easy this year. But the number one seed over in the East is the Miami Heat. Number two seed is the Milwaukee Bucks. Number three seed is the Philadelphia 76ers. Number four is the Boston Celtics. Number five is the Chicago Bulls. Number six is the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then the play-in tournament would be number seven seed would be the Toronto Raptors. Number eight seed, Brooklyn Nets. Number nine seed, the Charlotte Hornets. And the number 10 seed would be the Atlanta Hawks. So that's kind of how the playoff picture looks. It was about the same last week, just a couple of different movements from seeding standpoints, but basically all the exact same teams are in contention. And so, yeah, like I said, the playoffs start on April 12th, and so we'll see what happens. Like I said, my hopes are not high for my Lakers, but hey, maybe they'll get a couple wins in the play-in because Anthony Davis should hopefully be back by then, but who the fuck cares? They ain't gonna win shit. So let's move on to teams that are winning shit. Let's move on to bracket time. Let's recap what happened this weekend. We had a great weekend of March Madness. I mean, you know, first of all, like I said on Friday, this is just the greatest weekend of college basketball you could get because it's just games stacked on games, stacked on games, and you just keep watching and watching and watching. And there were a ton of upsets, we have a Cinderella. You know, my bracket, half of it looks like a big old period stain. That's what I always call it when you've got the red crossouts going all the way from the round of 32 to your final four. Oh, wait, all the way to your national champion. Luckily, my champion is still in it, but half of my final four got knocked out this weekend. And half of my championship picks got knocked out this weekend. So currently, I was correct on 33 of the 63 picks so far. So that's not actually bad. I would say as far as brackets go, I've had a lot worse. So let's just recap where we're at heading into the Sweet 16 this Thursday. So in the round of 32 in the west side of the bracket, Gonzaga beat Memphis. In a very close matchup, but Gonzaga ended up moving on to the Sweet 16. Then the next matchup was New Mexico State versus Arkansas. Arkansas also played a very close matchup against New Mexico State, but they're moving on, so it'll be Gonzaga versus Arkansas in the Sweet 16. Then moving on, Notre Dame versus Texas Tech. That was another close one, but Texas Tech ended up moving on. And then Michigan State versus Duke, another close one, back and forth. At first, you're like, oh, my God, is this going to be Coach K's last game? But Duke ended up moving on. And so the Sweet 16 in the western side of the bracket, we're going to have Gonzaga versus Arkansas. And since I've got Gonzaga in my Final Four, of course, I'm going to take Gonzaga in this matchup to move on to the Elite Eight. And then Texas Tech versus Duke. I had this matchup to begin with, and I had Texas Tech moving on in my original bracket. So my Elite Eight on the West side remains intact with Gonzaga and Texas Tech. And then let's move on to the East side of the bracket. In the round of 32, Baylor versus North Carolina. North Carolina came in and upset Baylor and ended up getting a win. Ha ha, Baylor. That was a hilarious upset to see. They did play a great game, I'm not going to lie. They were down by a lot, and then they made this huge comeback, but they just weren't able to get it done in the end. North Carolina prevailed. Then St. Mary's versus UCLA. UCLA absolutely dominated them, which I was really happy to see because in round of 64, like I said, my butthole was puckering. Like, you cannot knock my bracket out in round of 64. But they ended up playing great against St. Mary's and moving on to the Sweet 16. Then we had Texas versus Purdue. You know, Texas actually played a great game against Purdue, but I think their lulls where they were down by, I think, like 14 points at one time in the first half, and then they made a nice little comeback to get back into the game. But then in the second half, they had another lull, and it just really took them out. And I think just Purdue was a better team to begin with, and so they moved on to the Sweet 16. And then the last matchup in the east side of the bracket was Murray State versus St. Peter's, and St. Peter's ended up winning, and that's our Cinderella team right now in the tournament. There's always a Cinderella team, and St. Peter's ended up being it. So on the east side of the bracket, the Sweet 16 is North Carolina versus UCLA. I did have Baylor versus UCLA. And I had UCLA moving on, so of course I'm going to have them moving on versus North Carolina. And then Purdue versus Murray State is what I had. It's going to be Purdue versus St. Peter's. And I had Purdue moving on, and I'm still going to have Purdue moving on. So moving on over to the South Side, bracket, where I didn't do so well over here. You know, I banked real hard on Tennessee, and they fucked me over in the round of 32. But let's start off with the Arizona versus TCU matchup. Arizona ended up moving on. Then Houston versus Illinois. Houston ended up moving on. And then Michigan versus Tennessee. Now, this is where my bracket got fucked up because I had Tennessee moving on and Michigan came in for the upset and they are moving on. And then Ohio State versus Villanova. Villanova ended up moving on. So Sweet 16 matchups, Arizona versus Houston. That's how I had it on my original bracket. And I have Arizona moving on in that one. And then Villanova versus Michigan. I had it as Villanova versus Tennessee, and I actually had Tennessee moving on. But in this matchup, I'm going to take Villanova. I just think they're the better team. While Michigan's playing some great basketball, I think at some point their run's going to end. I don't think they're that good of a team. I just think they're kind of, you know, getting the wins when they need to. And Villanova is a really good team. Don't forget, they're just a couple of years removed from a national championship. So they're a really solid team, and I think they're going to move on to the Elite Eight. And then rounding out the Midwest bracket, we had this was another place where my bracket got completely fucked over because I had Auburn going all the way to the national championship on this side, and they got upset. So in the round of 32, we first had Kansas versus Creighton. I had Kansas moving on, and Kansas moved on. Then Richmond versus Providence. I actually had Iowa going into that round of 32, which was another huge upset from the weekend. So Richmond ended up upsetting them in the round of 64. But Providence took care of them and moved on. Then Iowa State versus Wisconsin. That was another huge upset. I told you about Iowa State. Now, I didn't take them against Wisconsin. I actually assumed Wisconsin was going to win. But I told you Iowa State was going to make some noise, and Iowa State made some noise, and they ended up beating Wisconsin. And then the last matchup in this bracket, Miami versus Auburn, and Miami completely dominated Auburn in this matchup from start to finish. I was watching this game. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Auburn can't even fucking show up. They're going to fuck up my whole bracket, leave a whole period stain on this side of the bracket, which they certainly did. And so Miami ended up moving on. So the Sweet 16 on the Midwest side is Kansas versus Providence. I had Kansas versus Iowa, and I had Kansas moving on anyway. So that's who I have beating Providence. And then Iowa State versus Miami. I actually had Wisconsin versus Auburn, so I fucked up this portion of the bracket. But in this matchup, I'm gonna take Miami. These two teams are they've come in hot. They're both really solid teams, and they just are coming off of huge upsets. But I think Miami is a much more solid team, and I think they got some great shooters, and I think they can keep up with Iowa State. So I actually have Miami moving on. So my Elite Eight originally was Gonzaga versus Texas Tech, UCLA versus Purdue, and those are intact. And then I had Arizona versus Tennessee, which is now Arizona versus Villanova, and I had Kansas versus Auburn, which is now Kansas versus Miami. And then my Final Four, I have Gonzaga and UCLA still intact, but I had Tennessee and Auburn who were just knocked out this weekend. So my Final Four is looking like shit. But my champion's still intact. I actually still believe that UCLA can move on and win. You know, it's going to be a big game against North Carolina because North Carolina's got the experience, especially when it comes bracket time. But hey, man, we'll see what happens. But I'm still glad my champion's in it. And this week, usually on Mondays, I join my friend Simon Ruvalcaba on his show, Sports View with Simon Ruvalcaba. And last week we made our predictions on our brackets, and we're actually we're in a Yahoo group together where there's like 15 or 16 of us. And right now, currently, Simon is in first place, and I'm in second place. So that's the way it's going right now. Simon's actually out of town this week, so we're not going to be doing the show. That's why I'm updating you on his bracket. So just so you guys, if you're keeping up with us, you can see how we're doing. And actually, like I said, Simon's in first place, so his bracket actually looks pretty good for here. He's in first place in our group, and he's been correct on 36 of the 63 picks so far. And his Elite Eight, for the most part, is mostly intact. A couple of his teams got knocked out. On the west side, he has Arkansas versus Texas Tech, which is still intact. Then on the east side, he had Baylor versus Texas, so that's out of there. Then on the south side, he has Houston versus Villanova, still intact. And then on the Midwest, he had Kansas versus Auburn, and so Auburn's out. So his Elite Eight's pretty much intact for the most part. He's just wrong on three of them. And then on his Final Four, only one team is wrong. His Final Four was Arkansas versus Texas. So Texas is out of there. And then on the other side, he's got Houston versus Kansas still in there. His championship round is Arkansas versus Houston, with Houston as his national champion. So Simon's bracket looks pretty good from here. So he's still doing good, but we'll see where we're all at come next Monday, because you know we got another weekend of craziness to come, starting on Thursday, of course. It's not the amount of craziness that this past weekend was, because, you know, like I said, it's just game stacked upon game stacked upon game. But hey, the entire tournament's always fun to watch. I enjoy the tournament, and I'm just happy that my champion's still intact, because it's always shitty when your champion loses in the first round or the second round, or hell, just the first weekend. So our brackets are not too bad right now. Like I said, I've had much worse happen on my brackets before in the past. So we'll see what happens come Friday. And yeah, just enjoy the week of basketball. We've got a lot of NBA storylines to unfold throughout the week. We've got spring training going. So yeah, we got a lot going on, a lot building. And I'll talk to you guys on Friday.